Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, chapter 2. It's on page 1087. Don't laugh at him. Don't encourage him. He doesn't need anybody's help. Habakkuk chapter 2. While you're turning, ladies, let me encourage you to come out Tuesday night and hear Mrs. Faith Bartlett. She is the wife of Pastor Bill Bartlett. Bill Bartlett pastored down in Sissonville, West Virginia, just outside of Charleston, just northwest of Charleston for many, many years. He has turned the church over to his son and is just kind of semi-retired. He's still preaching quite a bit. But Mrs. Bartlett is just a delightful person. She is witty, she is funny, she is very down to earth, and she will be speaking at the ladies' meeting on Tuesday night. And so let me encourage you to come out and hear her speak, and you will benefit by listening to this dear lady. She is just a precious soul. I can promise you that. I have preached in Brother Bartlett's church many times through the years, and so I know the Bartletts well. And Pastor Bartlett, Glenn Matthews, is when he lived in the Charleston area, was a member of Maranatha Baptist Church, where Bill pastored for years. And Bill serves on the board for Revival Crusades, which is Dr. Glenn Matthews' ministry, of which I also serve on the board, and of which I preach all over the country 5 days a week on the radio through Revival Crusades. And did you all know that? Did you all know that? Well, I do. Glenn has kind of said he wants to retire. He keeps preaching. Matter of fact, he's going to be with us next November. For a Sunday through a Wednesday meeting, the first week in November. And Glenn is just one of the greatest expositors that you'll ever hear in your life, and has preached here several times through the years. And Glenn decided a few years ago that he wanted to retire. So he asked me if I would take over Revival Crusades, and I said, no, I'm pastor of the Church of the Open Door. And he said, but, and I said, no, don't. So don't beg, don't plead. I can't go. I can't resign the church, give up the church, and go into full-time evangelism. I just can't do it. The Lord will not let me do it. And so he said, well, but I can provide you the CDs for you to send to the radio stations, and that way you won't have to do all that. And he said, well, if you would just do that, that would be great. So we were already making the radio broadcast anyway for the local channels, and so we just duplicate them and now send them all over the country, just about, or at least from the Mississippi. Well, we're in Kansas City, I think. In Kansas City, Missouri, and St. Louis, and some, I don't know where we are. We're all over the place. And so we're sending out tapes. We're also on the Fundamental Broadcast Network, which goes all over the country, literally all over the world. Brother Bartlett serves on the Revival Crusades board, and so I know him well, I know his wife well, and she will be a blessing, ladies. So let me encourage you to come Tuesday night for that meeting. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. This is an amazing book. I've been reading it this week and read it several times, many times this week. And have some thoughts that I want to share with you tonight. If you will look at verse 1, it says, of chapter 1, it says, the burden. This was a burden that was on Habakkuk's heart. You want to know what the burden was? The burden is found in verse 6, verse 5 and 6. He said, behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. God says, for I will raise up the Chaldeans. That's the Babylonians. So God said, I'm going to use the Babylonians. I'm going to raise up and empower and aid and help the Babylonians, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. All right, so what is Habakkuk's burden? Well, the burden that he had was the fact that God told him that judgment was coming. God told him that the Babylonians were going to rise up. Now, you remember our study of Daniel on Wednesday nights last year, and we just went through Daniel literally chapter by chapter and paragraph by paragraph and sometimes verse by verse. And we learned that the Babylonians came under Nebuchadnezzar, and they just swept through the land and destroyed Jerusalem and carried back all the young people, all the young men, and held them in captivity for those many years. And here is Habakkuk now, and he is telling Israel that this judgment, the Babylonians are coming. And so that's the burden that is upon his heart. And if you look at verse 12, in verse 12, he says, Habakkuk is talking now to God, and he said, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? And so basically in these two verses, Habakkuk is saying to the Lord, Lord, how can you do this? How can you do this to us? We're your people. How can you do this? All right, now go over to chapter 2, because chapter 2 is where I want to preach from. Look at verse 1, and let me read several verses. I won't read the whole chapter, but I'm going to preach from the whole chapter. But I want to just read a few select verses here. Look at verse 1. Habakkuk now says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. All right, jump down to verse 9. He said, woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labor in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for the very vanity? For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Look at verse 18. He said in verse 18, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. Are we seeing the judgment of God? Are we seeing in America the judgment of God? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You now for our time together around Your Word. And I pray that You will bless and help us tonight as we look at this chapter and look at some of the things that You warned through the prophet Habakkuk to the people of Israel, that You warned them about. Lord, help us to just search our own hearts tonight. Lord, if we're going to see our nation come back to God, it must begin in the individual heart. It must begin with us. And so, Lord, help us to search our hearts tonight and just to trust in the goodness of the Lord, to just send a revival and stir the soul and help us, Lord, to get back to the things of God. Lord, use me tonight and help me tonight. And as best as I know how, I surrender myself and just pray for Your hand of blessing to be upon the message now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, there's very little really that is known about the prophet Habakkuk. As I began to search and look for information about him, just about every source that I read had basically just four or five little tidbits, all the same information. So very little is known about Habakkuk. What is interesting is his name. The name Habakkuk means the wrestler, the wrestler. And that's a very fitting name for this man because he really wrestled with some things that he just could not get his mind around. He wrestled with some things that he just couldn't understand. And he prophesied to the Jews about the impending judgment that was coming from the Lord, but his message was only heard by the ears of the people. It was not heard with the heart of the people. And so he had to wrestle with the fact that the people would not listen to the message of God. He knew that he was proclaiming the message of God, but the people would not listen to it. And so he wrestled with that as well. If you look at chapter 1 and verse 6, you'll see what was the primary thing that he wrestled with. God tells him that he was going to bring the Babylonians to bring judgment upon Israel. He was going to sweep across the land with the Babylonian heathen people and use Babylon to conquer and to defeat and to destroy the city of Jerusalem and the people of Israel. And Habakkuk could not understand why God or how God could do such a thing. How could God allow the heathens to overrun his own people? In verse 12 and 13 that we read a moment ago, it's basically like Habakkuk is looking at God and saying, Lord, how can You do this? You can't do this. We are Your people. You cannot allow these pagans to destroy Your people. Lord, it's just not right for You to use these heathens to bring Your judgment upon us. And, you know, when I read that, I thought, you know, that is exactly how America thinks about itself today. We think that we're immune from God's wrath and God's judgment. We think that we're immune from it. I don't understand that, really, except for the fact that the devil has been conditioning us. Everybody talks about this being Christian America. Folks, I don't see that. I'm sorry. I just don't see that. I know we like to think that we're a Christian nation, but we're not a Christian nation. You go into any city in America and you will find so much debauchery and so much wickedness and so much sin and depravity. We are not a Christian nation. We are a heathen nation today. And the longer we stay in operation, the more heathenistic we become. I was, as I was reading this week, look at chapter 1, verse 4. Habakkuk said, therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. You let a bunch of liberals have their way, and this is what you get. And this is where we are, folks. You let a bunch of liberals have their way, and this is what you get. You get a society that is amoral. You get a society that is falling apart, and you get a society that is that turns its back against God Almighty. And so I don't think we're a Christian nation anymore. I really don't. I think we were founded upon the Judeo-Christian ethic. And I think for a long time that the opinion of America was that we are a Christian nation. But I just don't think that we're a Christian nation today. I know that our leaders in Washington do not think we are a Christian nation any longer. They want to remove everything that has Christianity connected to it. They want to remove it from our country. And we are, I think, seeing the results of our wandering and going away from God. But I think that we feel as a nation that we are immune from God's judgment. But folks, I want you to know, I think we are experiencing God's wrath. And I think as a nation, we are experiencing God's judgment upon our country. I think we have been for a while. I was in a pastor's fellowship meeting just a couple of weeks ago, and a bunch of us were sitting around a table eating lunch, and one of the young preachers looked over, and he said, Doc, let me ask you a question. And I said, what is it? He said, what do you think is in store for our country? And I said, well, I don't think it looks good for our country. And he said, what do you think's going to happen in the churches? And I said, well, I tell you, I think that the cream is going to rise to the top, and I think the dregs are going to go so far down below to the bottom that it's going to be easy to see who is the real Christian church in just a matter of a few months or a few years in our country. I think it's going to be that obvious. I mean, I really do. And he then said, well, do you think that we're experiencing the judgment hand of God? And that's when I started thinking about this. And I said to him, yes, I believe it with all my heart. He said, well, you know, when September the 11th happened in 2001, he said, I felt like it was judgment. I felt like God was judging our nation, was executing his wrath upon America. And I said, but sir, you got to realize that's not the first time that judgment hit us. That's not the first time. I mean, you know, just in our generation, I said, think back, if you will, remember the Marine barracks that were blown up in Beirut. Do you remember that? I said, how about the two embassy buildings in Africa? And what about the bombing of the USS Cole? And what about the dragging of our American Marines through the streets of Somalia? And I said, what about the first attempt on the World Trade Center back in the late 90s? I said, listen, I don't think that we have seen anything yet. The judgment hand of God is not finished with this country. I just don't think it is. So you say, well, Pastor, why would God allow judgment to come upon America? Well, let me ask you, could it be because we are a nation that has turned its back on God? Could it be because we are a nation that would rather bow to the gods of Hollywood than bow to before the God of the Bible? Of course it is. I'm amazed at what's going on in our country. Could it be because we have decided that, oh, listen to this. Could it be because we have decided in the last 50, 70 years that we know more than the Holy Spirit, and we are taking the Bible and watering it down with over 400 versions of the Bible now and changing it to make it more palatable and to weaken the deity of Christ and to take out the virgin birth and a bunch of other stuff that we don't like? Could it be because we have messed with the Word of God? Well, it very well could be, dear friend. It very well could be. I tell you, it's amazing what's going on in our country. All these vampire movies coming out, all this Harry Potter stuff, all these wizards and magicians and witchcraft and aliens and all that business. And everybody and his dog running to the movie theaters to bow before the altar of Baal. Let me tell you something, Christian. As a child of God, You should not be teaching your children about wizards and witchcraft and sorcery and showing your children that it's okay to be involved in this kind of wickedness. A couple of weeks ago, I was watching Fox. I know it wasn't on ESPN, and I was trying to think when it was on Fox, but I know it wasn't on ESPN because those are the only two channels basically that I watch, wherever there's a football game and Fox News. But anyway, it had to be Fox. I was watching the news, and they did this little segment, and the entertainment reporter, 10 minutes till the hour, and the entertainment reporter comes on, and they interviewed Britney Spears, and they asked her what kind of year she's had. And she stood there half clothed and said she just sings and dances and trusts God will bless it. And I had to work to keep from bleeding. I mean, seriously, sweat was popping out on my brow. I know she can't hear a word I'm saying. I know that the reporterette could not hear a word that I was saying. But I'm sitting up on the edge of the couch going, no, God's not blessing that. What are you talking about? God does not bless immorality and nudity and indecency. That's not something God has his hand on. But boy, our country has just gone nuts, have we not? Why wouldn't the judgment hand of God be against America? The other night, I was Tuesday night. They had this thing on, it was either last Tuesday or the week before, they had this thing on at 10 o'clock on one of the evolution channels there called Unsolved Bible Mysteries. I thought, yeah, man, that ought to be good. Let me see what they're gonna figure out here. I watched about 5 minutes of it, and I'm yelling at the TV again. The whole program was designed to present an alternative explanation to show that the Bible is a farce. That's what it was. That's all it was. Why shouldn't the hand of God come thundering down upon America? We are a nation of drunkards. We are a nation that has rejected truth. We are a nation of pornography. We are a nation of drug abuse. I mean, why should the judgment hand of God not be upon this nation? So I want you to look. I mean, that's what Habakkuk, it just blew his mind. Lord, how can you do this? How can this happen? And so the Lord told him, well, if they're not going to live for me, if they're not going to serve me, then they're going to pay the price. I'm going to judge them. And God did judge them. Now let's look at how Habakkuk handled this judgment. I want you to look at his response. First of all, in chapter 2, verse 1, I want you to notice what he says here. Habakkuk stands up after God announces that he's going to judge, and he basically just commits himself to live for the Lord. I want you to look at verse 1. He said, I will stand upon my watch, and I will set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Now, Habakkuk knows. I mean, God's just told him judgment's coming. I mean, it's clear in his mind. And while Habakkuk says, Lord, I don't understand, but I know that you are God, and I know that you are going to do what you're going to do, but Lord, let me say this. Here's one guy that's going to get on his stand, and he's going to stand on that stand. Here's one guy that is going to stand up for the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm going to crawl up on the tower. Now, that's symbolism. The tower was built on the wall so that the watchman could stand on the wall and have a good bird's eye view of everything that was going on. And if the enemy decided to attack, the watchman would be able to call to the inside and tell everybody and warn everybody that the enemy is coming. So here's Habakkuk, And in the first verse, basically, what he says to us is that we are to watch and see what the Lord says to us. We're to watch and see. Look at what. Look at the middle part of the verse. He said, "And we'll watch to see what he will say unto me." Habakkuk says, "I'm going to just watch, Lord, and I'm going to let you. I want to just see what you have to say to me." So we're to watch and see what the Lord has to say. We're not to put our faith in Washington, D.C. We're to put our faith in the Word of God. And God spoke to Habakkuk and told him his word. Look at verse 2. The Lord answered him and said, "Write a vision. Write the vision. And make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it." Make it plain. He didn't mince words. He said the judgment's coming. And he said, make it plain so that when the people come and read the word of the Lord. I can see Habakkuk now walking over to the edge of the tower and calling to the city. "Hey, folks, hey, I got a word from the Lord here. Come and read it. I put it on a tablet right here." And God said, "Habakkuk, write it in big bold letters on a tablet so that when they come and look at it, they can read it and then flee because judgment is coming." But they didn't listen. And sure enough, the judgment came. Notice in verse 3, God said, "The word of the Lord will not lie. It will come to pass." You see, as a Christian, I am to stand up and I'm to trust the Lord. I'm to trust in the Bible. Hey, folks, listen. You got a book here that will not fail. It will not fail. And all you got to do is just read the Bible and believe in the Bible. Believe what God has said in His Word. Because it will not fail. And as we see the judgment hand of God come upon our country, and folks, I don't think we've seen all that's coming yet, I'll be honest with you. I mean, we've seen all these natural disasters in the last several years. We've seen the hurricanes, and we've seen the floods, and we've seen the mudslides, and we've seen the forest fires, and we've seen just judgment, one right after the other. But listen, when we see all this, what we ought to do is realize that there's a God in heaven, and that God is trying to get our attention. That God is trying to say, "Hey, America, wake up and come back to me." And when we see it, and people start questioning, we need to realize and tell them that God is serious about this matter, and God's not going to let America just walk away from Him without trying to get America back. I always used to chuckle when President Bush would finish a speech. He would always look at the camera and say, "And God bless America." And everybody thought, "Wow, man, that's great. God bless America." You're not going to hear that out of this bunch. We all said, "Wow, that's great, man. He said, God bless America." Yeah, it was great, but what he should have said was, "Hey, repent, and God will bless America." What he should have done was stick his finger out and say, "Hey, get right with God, and God will bless America." But we're not a nation that's turning to God. Look at verse 4. There's a second thing he did. He not only said, "I'm going to stand," but he said, "I'm going to live. And I'm going to live by faith." In verse 4, he said, "The just shall live by faith." Habakkuk seems to say, "Lord, if nobody else is going to trust you, I'm going to trust you. I'll live by faith." You know what grieves me? It just grieves me that our nation has been convinced by the politically correct thinking. It just grieves me that our nation has been convinced that religion is the answer. You know, if we can just be religious, and that is, I just don't agree with religion a bit. There is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. You can talk about God all you want. People don't get upset. But you throw Jesus in the mix, and all of a sudden everybody gets angry. Why? Because there's one God. And there's one mediator between God and men, and that's Jesus. And they don't want you talking about the one mediator. This politically correct stuff says that we're all trying to get to the same destination. We're just all taking different routes, and therefore we should not be so narrow-minded and so straight-laced on this matter of Jesus. Why, don't you know we're just all trying to work our way to heaven? Well, I got some news for you. There's not anybody going to work their way to heaven. The work has already been done. Jesus did all the work. The just shall live by faith. There's a third thing. Look at verse 18 in this second chapter. Look at verse 18. Habakkuk speaks about these people that follow idols. Look at this. He said, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it?" We got a card last Sunday that said, "This is the first church I've ever been in, didn't have pictures of Jesus hanging all over the place." Well, first of all, these pictures of Jesus that you so commonly see in bookstores and churches, that is not what Jesus looked like. There is no, and I emphasize no with a capital N and a capital O, there is no painting or recollection, or carving, or etching of what Jesus looked like. And we're not putting up a picture of some long-haired individual and saying that's Jesus. And that's why you don't have pictures around here that you're so used to seeing in everybody else's church. May I remind you that the farther you get away from something, the more you need something to remind you of it. Amen. We're not putting idols up. Look at it. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? What profit is that? The molten image and the teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Dumb idols. Dumb. Unable to speak. Unable to speak. They're just stone. You know why they can't speak? There's no life in them. They don't have anything to say. What good can it do for you? But look at what he said in verse 20. He said, "The Lord's alive. The Lord is in his holy temple. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Everything's just fine in heaven. God is in total control of things." And I know, folks, listen, I know that I've said this before, but I need to just keep reminding you of it. Everything's all right. Now look, we've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. And I know that a lot of you, you're having trouble sleeping at night. A lot of you, you're looking at all this stuff that's going on and you're thinking, "Oh my goodness, what is going to happen to my grandchildren and to my children?" And you're just scratching your head trying to figure out how are we going to get through all this. And you're sitting there saying, "Boy, I hope all of a sudden there's not a big nuclear explosion, some dirty bomb blows up in D.C. And I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but all the wind just comes from that direction. Right up to Westminster. Am I the only one that's thought of that? Oh, yeah. We always get whatever wind's blowing. It comes right out of Washington, D.C. Oh, no. What are we going to do? Say, "Oh, now, thanks, Pastor. Now I will be up all night tonight." Well, you might as well stay up with me. You say, "Well, what are we going to do?" Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go over and read the book of the Revelation a couple times a week, and I'm just going to sit and read it and say, "Wow, man, this is good. We're winning, amen." You know, I read over there just the other day that the devil was busy because he knows he has but a short time. That's why you're seeing all this. I mean, folks, just as sure as we're here tonight, God's word is going to be fulfilled. There is not one jot nor tittle of the word of God that will fail until all be fulfilled. And God's judgment, yes, it's starting to rumble. Will it get worse? I would say it will. I would not be surprised at all if it doesn't get even more severe than what we've seen. Can America's sin be winked at by God? Can America's sin be overlooked by God? I mean, the sodomy and the pornography and the drunkenness and the liberalism of our churches and the abortion and the spiritual dearth that's in our land. Brethren, God will not be mocked. For what a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But what shall we do? Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to trust my Bible. I'm just going to keep going over to Revelation and reading it and realizing that the Lord is coming back soon. And I'm just going to look for him to come tonight. And if he don't come tonight, I'll look for him to come tomorrow. And if he doesn't come tomorrow, maybe he'll come Tuesday. But I know he's coming. And so we just keep on going. We just put a smile on our face. We keep telling folks about Jesus. We keep running the buses. We keep the reformers up and running. We keep the soul winning going. We keep the music going. We keep reaching out and helping everybody. We keep the school open. We help the children. We help the teenagers. We just do what we can until Jesus comes again. But man, we don't want to just crawl in the corner somewhere and say, oh no, boy, what are you going to do now? Suck our thumbs and wait for the Lord to come? No, we got to keep busy because we're winning. What shall we do? What shall we do? Well, you know, I think we ought to pray for the Lord to come back. I really do. I think we ought to pray. When you pray, I think you ought to pray and say, Lord, today would be a good day to come back. Amen. I was sitting there watching a football game this afternoon, and I'm sitting there watching a game, and all of a sudden, you know how something moves out of the corner of your eye? And so I looked over at the doors, French doors, looking outside. I'm sitting there, and I'm watching a football game, and I saw something move out of the corner of my eye, and I look over, and it was a cat. I don't know whose cat it is. And that cat just stepped up on the porch. He's standing there looking in the window like trying to figure out. Say, y'all got anything to eat in there? What's going on? Yoo-hoo. You know, anybody home? A cat sitting there looking at me. While he didn't stay long. I think he was hungry, and he was looking for something to eat, so he moved on. Well, I ain't feeding the cat. You feed the cat, he stays. So I was sitting there looking out the window, and the sun was setting. And I was sitting there looking at that sun. I thought, oh, man, look at that beautiful sunset. Anybody see it tonight? It was gorgeous, wasn't it? I was sitting there looking. I said, look at that sun. You know what crossed my mind? Lord, right there would be a good spot for you to come back. Just appear. Just stand right on the sun. Just stand right there so all could see you. He's coming back. I think we ought to pray. I think we ought to pray for the Lord to return. I think we ought to pray for revival. I'd like to see revival before the Lord comes back. I'd really like to see just an old-fashioned, spirit-filled revival. I'd love to see that. When 9/11 happened, everybody thought, wow, you know, all the preachers were talking about it. Said, wow, we're going to see revival. We'll see America come back to God now. Nah, we didn't see it. We didn't see it. I'd like to see a genuine revival. I'm talking about a revival where Christians get on their faces and cry, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I'm talking about a revival where God's people humble themselves and pray and seek God's face. I'm talking about a revival where the movie theaters would say, well, I guess we're going to have to shut our doors. I'm talking about a revival where the bars and where the nightclubs would say, well, you know, business is so bad, we can't afford to pay anybody. We're going to have to shut down. But I'm afraid that we're not seeing that. I'm afraid that God's given us, just like he gave Habakkuk here, to stand before the people and write it down. Say, hey, folks, come and read it. Read it. Read what God says. Well, we've got it written right here. But just like they turned their backs, I'm afraid we're turning our backs on God too. Christian, let's stand for the Lord. Let's increase our faith in the Lord. Let's increase our faith in His Word. Let's realize that the Lord is in control. And let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our churches. Let's pray for our country. Let's pray for revival. Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. That's the message of chapter 3, verse 2. Look at that. He said, O Lord, I have heard Thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive Thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. That's what we need. We need God to revive His church. But folks, that revival starts in your heart and it starts in mine. We have got to yield ourselves and surrender ourselves and pray that the God of heaven sends a revival upon us. I don't, you say, Pastor, do you really think the Lord is coming back soon? If I didn't believe that, I'd quit today. I definitely believe He's coming back soon. I think we're living on borrowed time. I don't think for a minute that we realize just how soon our Lord's return is going to be. I want to be found faithful when He comes. I want to be found standing upon this book. I got to tell you this. Won't tell you who it was, but I got a blessing in my heart tonight when I came in. One of our dads came up to me with a smile on his face and said, Pastor, my boy wanted to do this something today. And he said, I just looked at him and said, listen, when Pastor Norris goes contemporary and when he wears his bishop's robe, you can do what you want to do. Amen. Amen. You know, I want our young preacher boys to go off to Bible college and come back to the same church that they left. I want them to be able to go off and pastor their own church and then be able to come back and preach here for us and visit us, and we still be the same church as when they left. I have never preached in the church that I got saved in. I have never been invited. And if they did invite me now, I wouldn't go. Because I wouldn't be able to stand that music. And I would get up and split the church. I know I would. I would get up and say, ye did run well. What hath hindered thee? Yeah. Yeah. Folks, we just have to stay right with it. Just stay right with it. Just keep winning souls. Keep holding up the old book. I got a box in the mail a couple weeks ago. Got a box in the mail. And I thought, what in the world? Who would send me a box? I opened up the box and I pulled it out, and it was the newest version. I thought, what? And said, we just finished this one. We think you'll enjoy it. Wrong. I got my Bible. Amen. I'm just going to stick with this one. Let's just stick with what we know. And what we know is the God of this book.